Awesome. Spring has sprung. Flowers are coming out now and greenery. My wife was just telling me the other day. It's good to see you girls back, by the way. We've missed you. She's telling me the other day, she goes, it just seems like it all popped up in one day. And I said, yeah, it kind of does that, doesn't it? Well, I've got a subject I want to talk about today that I think we all deal with. And I told our core leaders this morning, it's not like I have the wraps on everything. I put my pants on just like everybody, one leg at a time. So I figure out this stuff as the Lord reveals it and we walk it out. But I tell you, the things that are sometimes tough for us, me included, is as we find out the Word of God, sometimes we have our own opinions of where we think we are or where we believe God is. But everything, no matter me or whoever, needs to line up with the Word. Amen? If you want results, it has to line up with the Word. I don't care what you feel, what you think. The plumb line is snapped by the Word of God. I've had people come up and say, that's not true. Well, if I got to take your word over God's, that's not going to happen. You know, if his word says it is true, whether you think it is or not, that's something you will have to work out. Thank the Lord for grace. His mercies are new every morning. If you get it wrong, he's certainly big enough to help you get it right. So I want to talk this morning, but before we get started, let's say hi to our online crowd. God bless everybody that's watching today. Good to have you with us. We went out yesterday and canvassed a couple neighborhoods around here, gave them flyers for Easter service. They're out on the Welcome Center, and I want to challenge everybody, if you can, and I think we have enough that are left, take about 10 of those, and can you give those out to 10 people that you would invite to church? Whether they come or not, that's not your job. Yours is just to invite. If they're going to another church and they're happy, save it and give it to somebody that's not, maybe. I mean, you know. But whatever, let's pack this place out in a couple weeks and believe God for just an amazing service. Okay, we good with that? So make sure that you get your flyers when you go to the Welcome Center, get your flyer, and that would be great. I want to talk today, and I got Band-Aids on my own toes, so I'm not just trying to step on yours. So I'm like, all right, Lord, I want to pray and get results. How many in here would like to know? Let's pray and get results. I don't want to just waste my time. I want to pray and get results. I mean, you know, I worked in the fitness business for years, and that was the people based the success on results. You know, my son's dad, make me out a workout program. Okay. My oldest son, Zach, would say, I want to know that this is working. And I would tell him this. I would say, I guarantee it. If you do what I'm asking you, it will work. Dad, are you sure? I'm sure. But let's make sure. He said, how do we do that? So I measured him. Okay, we took your measurement. I said, we're going to do this again in a month. And in a month, we measured him again. And he's like, oh, I put on an inch and a half on my chest. Yeah. You know, my bicep is, yeah. This is your plumb line. Will it work? Absolutely. Every time? Absolutely. But you measure it by this. This doesn't change. Even if you change, this doesn't. It's going to be fun today. It's quiet, so that's always fun. Again, I'm a work in progress, so I'm working on myself. Let me ask you a question. Again, if I was in a mirror, I'd be talking to myself. Are all your needs met today? Yeah. Every need you have is met. So I think we could all probably say in here, unless you're completely debt-free or you have no medical bills, you have no other, you know, we'd all say, well, because when we talk about needs, we usually go finances. We've already did a whole series on that, so I'm not teaching that today. But maybe it's not just financial. Maybe it's just, you know, you have some other things that you need met. But if it's not being met, why? Do we want them met? I'd say Most of us in here, if we had a brain, we would say yes. There are people, you love them, but they're like, no, nah, I don't. I had a guy stand up service one time. I just wish the Lord would shut off the blessing. It's just too much. I'm like, well, then share it, brother. Give it to some people that, you know, that need it. Because that's really what the gospel's about. It's us being able to be a blessing, to have all of our needs met and more. That's why the double portion is there, so that we can do something and show somebody, listen, God loves you. Do you believe that God can meet your needs? Some of us believe that we want him to. Do you believe that you have any part to play in this? And some of us just cop out on that one. No, this is God is sovereign. I don't have anything to do. You need to read your book. Now, my wife is a question asker, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. She wants to know, like, why? How did that work, or why isn't that working, or should we do this, or should we not? And that's what spurred me into doing this message. Well, the Lord, but if I ask 1,000 people that are followers of Jesus this question, most of them would shake their heads. Like, if I ask them, you know, are your needs being met? If not, why not? I don't know. I don't know. That has been my answer to her sometimes. I don't know. Some of you might say, no matter what I do, this stuff still hangs on me. This sickness, or this hasn't happened. I still have these problems. They just keep dragging on. Why doesn't God do something about it? And again, we need to look in the mirror. We're waiting on God, and really God is waiting on us. If we want and we don't have, James 4:2 says, we scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Maybe we're not praying at all, and we just are taking everything for granted. We live in a society that pretty much is a give-me mentality, entitlement. Are we really even putting our hand to it? I have thought at times I was fully persuaded. You know, like, no doubt. I've had people that have said, oh, no, that's wrong. If I got to take your word over God's, I'm not going to do it. Because if God's word says it should happen and it didn't, it's not God's fault. I thought I was fully persuaded, just to find out later that maybe I wasn't as persuaded as I thought. Maybe I didn't have all the information. Maybe I had not let the Lord tell me some things that he wanted to tell me, because my mind was already made up. Have you ever had a closed mind? Did you know if you want a good cup of tea, it doesn't get good until you put that bag in hot water? You can't get wrinkles out of the clothes until that iron's hot. Sometimes we think we know something. We say, oh, no, I'll tell you, this is all you got to do. And I've been there, done that. So I'm talking to myself, I think. It's easy when we're not the one going through it. It's easy to tell somebody else. You just have to do 1, 2, 3. What's your problem? Until it's your problem. And then we start realizing maybe we're not as persuaded as we thought. Why is this lingering on? Is there something? And we really need to be asking the Father, what am I not seeing? What am I not hearing? Maybe you're not praying according to the word. And that's where everything has to line up. Maybe you're just praying according to what you want. See, that's the thing. When we talk about prosperity and we talk about that, people just think it's just name it and claim it and all of that. And that was all in probably the 90s. But I'm just talking about according to the word, what is his will for your life? Maybe you're just asking, the Bible says you could be asking amiss. You're not asking the questions you need to ask. How am I missing this, God? Have you ever? I remember a doctor telling Kim and I one time about something that really was tough for us to walk through, but basically said, if we look out there and then you're looking at a whole bunch of horses and there's one zebra, we got the problem. There's the problem. We're trying to isolate or find out what went wrong. Maybe we let the enemy get us afraid and we don't want to ask God. Maybe our heart and our motivation is wrong. Maybe it's selfish. Maybe there's some greed issues in there. Or maybe you're just wore out and you're just tired and you don't mean to be selfish. But you just want something to happen. Want change. If you're in pain, how many just want relief? What if we are off in our heart and motivation? What if it is all kind of about us because we're self-righteous? Because this is what happens, and it's easy to move into this. If we think everything that, you know, this is happening because of what I did, faith without works is dead. That is part of things happening, yes. But if you are basing your answer on your action, be careful. Then you're basing it on what you did, not on what Jesus did. Jesus already did that. You're just following what the word says. Am I connecting with you? So I have to do things as because the word says this, that's why that's happening. And because I acted on what the word says, because the word is always true, I have my answer. But if I don't base it on that, and I base it on, well, I did this, I gave my tithe, I gave this, or I did this, watch yourself. It's easy to get your heart and your motivation, and the enemy loves to do that. We're in a generation that has come up through the church world, and prayer is kind of a spiritual wishbone. I mean, as a minister, we've been doing this for, it's not our first rodeo, but I've been into a lot of meetings where it was almost where whoever could pray in tongues the loudest or shout the loudest or seem to be the most emotional, they had to be the most spiritual. And they tried to, it was almost like a match of, I don't know. But we would do that, and because we were off on our motivation, we didn't get any results because they weren't pointed at anything. It was geared on ourselves. That's the wrong attitude. Sometimes, you know, and I think, you know, I get it. We're human. I get it. And we, you know, I want to do my devotion, and I think you should. I think there's nothing wrong with having a routine of devotion and speaking to the Lord and praying. I think it's biblical. I think it lines up with the word. But I think if we just think it's all based on our action, what happens if you don't feel good and you didn't get to read your Bible today? So God doesn't love you now? Because you didn't do enough? We have this whole thing sometimes you know, you've heard me say it week after week. There's nothing you can do for God to love you more. There's nothing you can do for God to love you less. If you stopped everything right now, he would not change his love for you. His provision for you is already done. He did it on the cross. Us receiving and walking in that, that's how we put our hand to it. We didn't grow up in sometimes church like that. We grew up in judgy church. We judge everything. We judge people by the way they look, To some extent, on the other end of that, there's people that take advantage of that. They will just look however they look, just so they'll draw attention to themselves, so you can feel like you are like, whoo, I don't know, don't feel comfortable. But we have to get God's perspective. You know, we talked about the demon-possessed guy. Didn't we talk about that last week? And he got put in his right mind, and people were upset about it. Now, they didn't like the fact that he ran around the tombs yelling and cutting himself and all of that, but now he gets put straight, and they're mad. That's the kind of crazy world we live in. They can't see him any other way than, how can this happen? The time has come for you and me as believers in the body of Christ to pray on purpose. To come to church with this mindset, God, I just want to worship you. God, I'm not coming. Yes, I want to see my friends in that great fellowship together, coming together, that corporate anointing. There's nothing wrong with that. It's biblical, but our hearts and minds must be geared to say, God, you are the reason we meet. If we feel we have to do all this stuff to stay in God's graces, there are things I'm sure that are good, that's fine, but he's bigger than that. Stop praying just because you always pray. At this time, I have to pray this time. It's okay. If you are led of the Lord to pray, you need to pray. I get it. But you should be talking to God all the time. You know, that's praying without ceasing. Everybody thinks praying without ceasing is just you have to hit your knees and our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be. No, you can't do that when you're driving. There's times I've been praying to God and I'm driving and maybe I got a little carried away and there's people that think I'm a number one driver and they're telling me so. It's not their index finger, Sorry. But what if we started praying and believing? There's difference from just saying words. Jesus talked about people that say a lot of words, but they don't mean anything. What if we said them and we believed them because they lined up with the book? Have a purpose behind it. Knowing that God answers prayer, Luke 18:1, he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. That's in the New King James. The New Living says it this way at the end. And pray and never give up. I love that. And honestly, this whole week I've been seeking the Lord, and when he's been showing me stuff like never give up. Because, I'm human like anybody else. And there's times I'm just like, Lord, I feel like I'm toast. Give me a fork, I'm done. If there's ever a time in our country that we needed to pray, the time is now. This is an election year. Do you want another crazy 4 years like we've had? Gee-many. Put somebody in office that knows who God is. Come on. And don't do it because you don't like the other candidate. Do it because whoever follows this the best. Help me somebody. Then tell me and cry about, oh, our country, who'd you vote for? Shut up. The devil is literally killing people with disease, drugs, depression. All kinds of garbage. He's just running and ramming down your throat. He's trying to teach our kids weird pornography crap. When are we going to stand up and say, let's pray with results? He's stirring up strife and dissension in the church, trying to disarm the body of Christ. And we, because of Jesus, have the power and authority to stop him. You're being pressured. I get it. But again, the Lord tells me, don't cave in. Don't give up. Pray, but pray accurately. Expecting results, and then we can come out on top. Did you hear that? Praying accurately, praying the will of God, praying what God says. See, we want to bend God's will to make it match ours. Don't just toss any old prayer and expect him. Pray according to the guidelines in the Word of God. He's given you his word. You can be specific. You see, we don't like that because if we're specific, then we expect specific results. That's hard to say fast. But when those results happen, people go, wow, we just point to him. I don't want you to sit around being tongue-tied. I'm afraid to say anything because what if I say it wrong? Is he not big enough? What's your heart saying? You know, there's different ways I've told Kim I love her. Some probably haven't worked out so well. But she still knows I love her because my heart is saying it. Sometimes I've, you know, and she's had to go, well, I know his heart. Come on, ladies. I know he, you know, that's not what he meant. God knows you're not perfect, but if you have his spirit in you, did you know you can do things perfect? See, people are like, oh, I can't. If your spirit is lined up with God, I'm not saying that every second of your life, now you'll be perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that his spirit can tell you a word of knowledge. His spirit can tell you a mystery. His spirit can tell you an answer. He can tell you why this is here and why this is there and what happened here. He can tell you that. And guess what? The answer will be perfect. You say, Brett, I don't even understand. I'm telling you, if I could even explain it. I lost, and I've told you this story, but it's been a while. I lost my wallet. Don't know how I lost it. I was living by myself, had my own apartment. Don't know how I lost my wallet, but it did. I don't know, I couldn't find it anywhere. Have you ever lost something that then you're like, where's it at? And you're tearing everything apart. Well, it's got to be my coat. You've checked every coat, even the coat you wore when you're in kindergarten. You can't find it. And I'm like, I don't know. And I wasn't where I'm at today, not like I'm at anything, but you know, the longer you walk with the Lord, you learn some things. So I started praying. God, I don't know where my wallet is. You know where my wallet is. Will you show me where my wallet is? And I didn't even think at the time I was full of the Holy Ghost. I don't think so, because I had not. That happened when we were married. So there you go. And I just asked God. But you know what I believed? I believed he'd show me. And I don't know what I was doing, but all of a sudden I had a vision in my head of my wallet being under my kitchen sink, and I could see it laying there, and I could see the Dawn dishwashing liquid that was right beside it. Because, you know, that commercial, that one little drop and all the grease, you know. I was a bachelor. I'm like, hey, we need that because all I made was greasy food. I'm just saying, you know, chicken wings, that's all you need. That's what you need. Anyway, there I'm like, and I'm thinking, under the kitchen sink? I wasn't home, so I mean, I couldn't wait to get home. I got home, I ran up the steps, went right into the kitchen, opened underneath the kitchen sink, and my wallet was just like I saw, sitting right there. I'm like, shut the front door. When was I ever under the sink, and how did my wallet get there? That has happened to me over and, not my wallet, but things over and over again. And now, since I've had the Holy Spirit, and that's a whole nother conversation, we'll cover that in just a second, he's helped me find all kinds of things or shown me things that I didn't know. Think of it this way. If I want to get to God, then I should do it according to his instructions. Make sense? And some people say, well, that's kind of hard. I don't want to have to read the Bible. You know what? Even in the society that's wanting what we want, everything is so easy now. You have the Bible on your phone. It will read it to you. You don't even have to read. You can just let it just play while you're getting ready, putting on your makeup if you're a lady, or combing your hair or whatever. Or if, you know, if you're a dude or whatever. Think of it, rather than, you know, it's just too hard. What if God is saying, I'm not making it easy for the enemy to get? We don't think of it that way. It's a security system designed to keep the devil out because you can pray to find your answer. He doesn't know what's going on. When you pray, and I'm going to get to it, when you pray in the Spirit, he can't tell what you're praying. And God says, we got a code. And I'm going to show you. And so God helps you. He's given you the secret code, so use it and go in. If you go into my garage door, you can open that little thing that has the keypad on it. You can press in the code, hit enter. Arrow loves that. I put the code in, he hits the enter button, and he thinks that's great. And then he acts like he's picking it up. How did I get in? Because I knew the access code. How do you find out? God has given you the access code. Brett, that's bold. Yeah. If I pray God's will, not my will, but God's will, can I receive what I'm praying every single time? That's what I'm saying. That's bold. He says we can be bold. 4:16 of Hebrews, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The word obtain is a word of certainty. The dictionary says it means to get possession of. Pray expecting to get possession of what you're praying about. Not just once in a while, but every time. So I want us to have the results that we pray. I'm only giving you three today, and I haven't got to them yet, but I'm almost there. I'm trying. What happens when we don't get results, though, is we make up our own reasons because we don't like to feel bad. And I understand.
Amen.
We need to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit and believe and trust Him. If you don't have the answer that you need right now, know that He's going to reveal it to you. And you have to trust Him with that. When you go to God using His word, the Bible says His word never comes back void. Has your word ever come back void? I'll be there. Ever not been somewhere when you said you'd be there? Do you know that God has never done that?
Amen. Yeah.
He's always where. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's never going to leave you or forsake you, so He's always there. He's given us some guarantees. I'm going to give you three today. Now, if you say, Brett, I don't believe He answers prayer, I'm going to tell you right there, that's why you're not getting any results. You're double-minded. I think He'll answer every once in a while. God doesn't randomly just go, today I'm going to answer this. Today, tomorrow, that's not going to work. That's not how the kingdom operates. I'm going to keep it simple. 1, 2, 3. You ready?
Yeah.
Guarantee number one, the name of Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. John 16:23, in that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. I want you to look at that verse. We just read it. How did Jesus say we should address the Father? In whose name? In Jesus' name. His name is the one that guarantees we have that our prayers will be answered. Philippians 2:5-11, this is what Paul is telling us. Let this be mine in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself with no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming to the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus carries authority over every other name. It's one of the most powerful guarantees that you will get an answered prayer. You have to go in the name of Jesus, but you go according to the word of God. Now, let me just define this just a little bit. We have four children. My kids, I could tell my kids, I remember telling Zach or Sam, and Mal was usually pretty good, and Zach would say, yeah, Mal's halo lit up the whole hall. You know, I mean, now, Maddie was a whole nother story. Maddie was everybody's strong will rolled up into one little ball saying, come and get me. But the boys would be like, I said, I need you guys to go outside. I need you to do this errand. I need you to, pile the wood up. I need you to do this. And one of them would say, okay. The other one would say, I don't want to do that. But I only told the one. And so he said, no, we have to go out there. And the one would say, I'm not going out there. I'm not doing that right now. And then the other one would say to him, Dad said. So both, they would go both out. Why? Because I put my stamp on that. He would tell him, that's what Dad said. So if Dad said it, well, then we both got to do it. Because Dad will check. Folks, do you really believe in the name of Jesus? Go to the Father with the name of Jesus. Our second guarantee. I told you it's not going to take that long. The Word of God, John 15:7, Jesus gives us another guarantee. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Abide. Let's keep it simple. His words. His will. The enemy will try to trip you up on anything he can. Listen to what I'm saying. God's word is his will. Did you hear that? Your people, Pastor, I don't know the will of God. I just don't know what the will of God. His word is his will. Revelation 12:11 says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's not going to be on the screen, but I'm just telling you that scripture. What does his word say about what you're dealing with? What's the giant look like in front of you? If you want to know what the will of God is, then you need to find out what the word of God is. If you find out what the word of God is in your situation, you will know what the will of God. People come up and say, no, I don't think God wants me well. You didn't look at the book, because the book says he does. Well, I didn't get healed. That's not my issue. That's your issue. Now, that sounds hard. Now, listen to me before you get mad at me. I have to deal with that, too. So that's not me just throwing that out to you. If something doesn't happen, it's not because God didn't do his part. Somewhere, the break in there is dealing with me.
Amen.
Well, you prayed for me, and this didn't happen. Okay. I don't know where you're at. God does. That's not my job. That's your job. I met a lady last night. I don't see her today. I met her. I was at the palace last night and went to one of our students here is in a play there. If you're not doing anything this afternoon, go to the palace and watch Wizard of Oz. Aiden is in that. It's $12. It's really cute. Anyway, I went out in the foyer of the palace. I was waiting on Maddie to get there from work, and this lady goes, hey! Yes? She said, you don't remember me, do you? And I said, well, no, ma'am, I don't. She said, I came to your church. You prayed for me. And I said, well, great. She said, you don't remember me, do you? And I said, well, ma'am, I pray for people every week, and I'm glad I got to pray for you. And she said, well, I know why you don't remember me. And I said, why? She said, because it didn't have hair. I said, okay. I don't remember specifically praying for a bald lady, but, I don't know if she had a hat. I don't remember all of that because I do pray for people all the time. And she said, the doctor said I couldn't grow hair. My hair would not come back. You prayed for me and said, don't listen to the doctors. God would want, if you can have hair back. You just need to speak to that. And so we prayed over that. I never saw her again. She had hair clear down to her shoulder. She's like, look at it. And she's doing. I'm like, that's awesome. Now there's all these people out there. She turns around to another guy. I'm assuming maybe her husband. That's the guy I was telling you about. And everybody there. So you feel like you're on America's Most Wanted. So all I said to her was, listen, I'm very honored that I got to pray for you, but you need to understand, God healed you, not me. He used me maybe to do that. I'm the jumper cable, But give him all the credit for it. I'm just glad he got you. So there are people out there that are believers. Amen. You know, or whatever. You got to understand that name of Jesus and that word is his will. He gave us specific promises in his word. And his will, that they all would get fulfilled. That's why we can say yes and amen. Amen is just like, so be it. That contract has been signed in blood by Jesus. Do you know that? He went to the cross, so all these promises have been fulfilled. That's why Jesus said, it's finished. There's nothing else for him to do. He paid for everything. Even the sins you haven't committed yet, paid for. Think of it this way. The Bible is the last will and testament of Jesus, and it's a record of your inheritance if you're a believer. Everything that belongs to you has been written down in this book. So your smartest thing would be to find out, how do I use that, Lord? How do I help people? How do I take care of what's most important to you, and that's people? Get your Bible. Find out what it says. Revelation 12:11, like I told you, find out that word. Don't base your prayer on what you remember the word saying. Now, it's good to have scripture memory verse, so please don't misunderstand me. It's good to be able to recall things. It's good to have memory of that. But you have to believe it. You can't just say it and don't believe it. I mean, it doesn't. There's no power, even though it's the word. But if you're not sending it to do anything because you don't believe it's even working. Let me explain why memory is good, but there's something that's even better, that's more important than just memory. Now, if my mom was here, she was fun to do this to. You girls will appreciate this. I'd tell mom, Mom, just pretend you have a lemon. Put that lemon in your mouth. When I count to three, bite down. One, two, three. See, all of your mouths are going, stop that, Pastor Bat. Because you already know what that lemon would do. That just like, yeah. Here's a little side note. My sister's not out here, is she? Oh, yes. Yes, she's probably watching back there. She is known as the baker, the cook, man. She can cook. That girl can cook. Yeah, so, yeah, her and Charlotte will be up in heaven someday cooking. So, anyways, she made me, and I was her guinea pig. She said, Brett, I made some lemon squares. I want you to taste them and see how they are. Well, man, who doesn't like lemon squares? Well, somehow my mom either made a mistake or my sister missed it. She mistook the sugar for salt. And so it called for like a cup of sugar, and she put a cup of salt. And she hadn't tried one. They got powdered sugar on them, and she said, here, and she shoved that thing in my mouth. Every bit of moisture in my body was sucked out instantly. She said, how are they? So then she goes, I think I made a mistake. You think? Anyway, back to our memory. Matthew 4:4 says this. He answered and said, it's written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The word of God is to your spirit like bread is to your body. The word of God is to your spirit like bread is to your body. So even though like my favorite food would be steak or pizza, I get it. But even the memory of like, oh, how many can remember when you've had one of the best steaks you've ever had? Of course, I know it's getting close to lunch, but you're like, oh, that's so awesome. But you don't get any nourishment from the memory. It's just you remember how good that was. But it doesn't really do anything outside of you remember. It's okay to have a memory, but you're not getting anything from it other than something that had happened before. And it's okay to have a memory of something good God did before. It's okay to remember that. I think you should. The Word of God is going to give you the nourishment. So that's why faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Romans 10:17. You have to say it, believe it, and confess it, and hear it. And instead of just having the memory, now you can begin to put the Word on assignment to do something that you're believing and praying about. The Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It doesn't say, you know who the they is? Us. That's us. It doesn't say, they shall lay hands on the sick, and maybe so, maybe no. He's very specific. Do you believe it? So just the memory of reading that word and saying, well, the Bible says, but do you believe it? Would you put enough belief in it that you would put your action with what you're talking about? Does it line up with the word? Is it his will that you pray for people? Is it his will that they be healed? I'm here to tell you and declare today, it's his will that you walk in divine health. It's his will that you be healed. It's his will that you be prosperous. It's his will that you be saved. He doesn't want any to perish. But we have to activate that by our own belief system and put it into use by not only what we think, but what we say and confess and what we do. Use it. Have you ever read a verse you've read over and over again and it's just like reading it and then all of a sudden one day it goes, pow. Okay. He's trying to tell you something. He does that stuff like that with my wife all the time. She'll hear a verse or she might hear it once, two, but yet even three times in one day or like, and she'll be like, okay, God. And she'll go and then she'll get with him. Why? Because he's trying to get, he's telling her. She has a choice to say yes or I'm busy. Because that's what happens. You have authority. You can choose. Choose this day who you will serve. God is going to call you. The Holy Spirit will draw you in, but you can go, I ain't going. And he'll go, okay. But then we complain because we're not at the party. And God's like, I've already, it's like the son that complained when the one son came back. The older brother's like, huh. He comes back after squandering all this money and you throw him a party and I have been with you the whole time and lickety split, you didn't do nothing for me. And the dad says, you have been with me. Everything I have is yours. But the older son didn't understand or try to even understand that he could have had a party a long time ago. But he didn't even, no. He just assumed what he thought. And that's where we get into trouble. Now, I'm not saying you can't pray on a spur of a moment. Sometimes things happen. Maybe you see an accident or something, and you send up a flare prayer. Oh, God. Those are okay. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those, because we get it. In this life, you'll have tribulation. I get it. You can pray from memory. You can make declarations from memory. You've memorized the scripture. If the word is on deposit in your spirit, you can withdraw it. But here's what we do. We don't put anything in the bank. We got nothing to withdraw from. Can I say this? If I was a banker, no deposit, no return. If you don't have anything in the tank, what are you going to pull on? If you got to be like, oh no, the devil's coming against me. Where's my Bible? That's not the time to look for the Bible. I mean, it's better than not having it at all, yes. But what would it have been if you'd have been like, you want to dance? It is written. And you are ready. And he's like, I think I'll go dance with somebody else. If I pray over something and it goes for a long length of time, and I don't see any results, it doesn't mean nothing is happening. I just might not see it. And if God says, it's okay, stay the course, okay. But maybe he's saying, you need to do this. It's coming like this. You need to be doing this. Do you know that God knows where the enemy's coming at you at? Wouldn't it be smart to stay in touch with the commander in chief that knows the battle strategy? So that's what PK and I are praying. What's the battle strategy for TLC? There's a lot of believers that don't do that. We try to change God. God, I tried it. It didn't work. And I was guilty of that myself. We beg and plead, and that's not how he works. You cannot change God. He doesn't change. I've had people say, well, God and me have an understanding. And I got some swampland in Florida. If it goes against the book, I don't care what you tell me. You can believe it all you want. Doesn't make it true. Line up with the word. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not holding out on you. There's specific things. It's either like, why didn't this happen? Well, let him tell you. Maybe it's something that you were in doubt or unbelief. You said you weren't, but maybe you find out you were. That's happened to me. Maybe it's just a time thing. You know, Jesus cursed the fig tree. Looked alive as soon as he cursed it. The next day it was dead. That was 24 hours later. Maybe, you know, I don't know. But God will tell you. There's seed time and harvest. If you just put it in, it might take a little bit to harvest. You know, how many, let me just say this. This is my point on this. We're almost finished. Well, I gave to God, so because I gave to God, I want to be out of debt like tomorrow. Could that happen? Yeah, sure it could. I mean, yeah, you know, maybe, you know, some great relative died and said, I left you $1 million. There you go. And you'd be like, sweet. I'd like to think most of you would use that to get out of debt. Others would be like, no. Yeah. I had a guy when I worked at Honda. I couldn't believe it. Mortgaged a new mortgage on his house to buy lotto tickets because it was up to $23 million at that time. Now we've seen it, you know, more. Didn't win. Bought all the tickets with a whole new mortgage on his house. And now he's mad. Well, I don't know now. I mean, he probably doesn't live there. But, I mean, you know, he was upset because he didn't win. He thought, hey, I've got more chances than anybody else. Surely I would have the right ticket. And I said, I'm not going to call you Shirley. But he didn't win. So now he has two mortgages at that time. And he was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't have done that. But sometimes we figure things out on our own. And we derail ourselves. You didn't get in debt overnight. Chances are probably pretty good you won't get out of debt overnight. You have to put these things in practice. Just consistent practice. Just doing the right thing. Don't just give to God one time and say, I tried it, it didn't work. It's not your money anyway. Just when you understand and you just yield to the Lord, it doesn't matter what man says, and then you start seeing God do things because you have left no avenue for the enemy to come in. Leave no doubt. John 5, 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we ask of him. I love that verse. So we can have what we ask. We just have to, you know, God, what's my assignment? What's he want for you? What are you believing for? If he can get money through you, he'll get money to you, and there'll be more than enough for you to be blessed, and you'll be able to bless others. Our last guarantee is the Holy Spirit. And this is the confidence. This is the degree. If you have confidence in the Holy Spirit, did you know that he is God's power arm? He is God. He is the one who's going to guarantee that the work gets done. In Genesis, he hovered over the earth. He didn't move until God said, let there be light. The Holy Spirit was present, moving on the face of the waters before creation. But he went into action when God spoke. Faith is voice activated. The Spirit of God that lives in you is not going to not live in you unless you want him out of there. But you have authority on what happens. Does that make sense? No, Brett, that doesn't. Okay, well, glad that you. You have authority on how you live your life. You have authority on what you put the kingdom to work for. Now, the kingdom's not going to do anything wrong, so please, you can't ask God to do anything that's illegal. He won't. It's not going to happen. Well, I want that. It's not going to happen. God won't do anything like that. Everything has to be legit. Too legit to quit. But the Holy Spirit responds to the word of God, just like he did back then. He hearkens. Angels hearken to the word of God. They listen for assignment, protection. We'd be praying for these people that where the tornadoes came and just smashed everything. We, you know, we have people that prayed protection, and for whatever reason, and we know the reason, it didn't touch their place, but it was awful close. But because they prayed, they believed, they confessed, there was an assignment there, there was authority put out there, things happened. Just think about this. The power that created the universe, the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, is activated in your life when you speak the word of God in prayer. When you believe what the word says and you put it to use, that's a great guarantee. Do I have everything down? I don't. I'm going to confess that I'm working on it really hard. But there's things that I'm believing God for this church. PK and I are believing God for this church. We can put some altar music on, guys, if you would. I mean, we've come a long way, the church has. We have a lot to do. We have a lot more to go. And so when I'm saying all of this, just as your pastor and we, you know, her and I continually break lack in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We have to do it in Jesus' name because that is the name above every name. And that's how we get to the Father. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said that. And I really do believe we have some great givers in this church. People that just, I hear you, God, and they just do whatever the Lord tells them. That's amazing. And their life reflects that. I'm just telling you from your pastors, there is much more. We are here on the west side of this town for a reason, my friends. There's a big need. And West Enders right now, they might be like, I don't have anything. I don't have any money to give. Because their mind doesn't see the kingdom. They only see lack and where they're at. It's our job to be a blessing, to show them the kingdom. Let God's Holy Spirit show the light. Get them born again and let God begin to help them walk out of the woods, so to speak. But it's not just going to be me. It's got to be all of us. We have to guarantee that what we believe is true. Do you believe the word is true? If you don't believe the word is true, it's going to be hard for you to convince somebody else. You know how easy it was for me to deflect? I mean, I'm very thankful I got to pray for that young lady. But how easy it was for me that I didn't, my job isn't healing. That's God's job. My job is confessing and believing. And listen, and holding the anointing for that to happen. And let me shock your world. You don't have to be saved to get healed. Did you know that? Everybody, well, I got to follow God and then he'll heal me. You should follow God, but he loves you whether you follow him or not. For God so loved the world. The following part is up to you. But you know, people that didn't believe still believed he healed because they saw it. And they got healed. And people usually, they get touched by something like that. They can't shake that real easy because they're like, well, okay, I don't understand, but something. There's got to be something to it. Let's be the light that we're supposed to be. Let's be the reflection that they want, that God wants. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, please?